Zubda Heilige Mishnah.
Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Ir Sheyesh Bavo, that's called Kavir. Chutzala Mutar. If a city has a particular Avodat Kochavim that they keep a holiday for, and it's not an overall social and national holiday, like we discussed earlier about questions of places that are Mishubad to Rome and so on, any place outside of that city, now the Gemara is going to ask when you say outside, how close can it be and still be called outside? But outside of that city, there's no Isser of having a business dealing on the holiday. And on the other hand, if there's a location outside of the city where they would worship Avodat Kochavim, then Tocha Muta, then inside of the city, there's no problem on the day of the holiday. Mahu Leilech Lisham, how about, in general, can you go to a city where there is a holiday in a particular city for purposes other than doing business? So far we've discussed doing business. But can you travel to such a city? If the road has only one destiny, and that destination, and that is the city, then it becomes mar'ita ayin, because people believe that you're going to that city for purposes of doing this issur of trade, or even of chas v'shalom, of worshipping Avodah Zorah. If it would be possible to go to another location, then of course it's mutar. I'll discuss this in a moment. I just want to mention to everybody that there's been a matzah baking put a delay because there's the owner of the bakery sitting shiva. So just last night. So yeah. Yeah, it's about matzah bacon. You weren't planning on coming here. It was a delay. I didn't feel comfortable making it, rescheduling it. Yes, I heard.
You're saying even if you're going to that city, as long as the road goes someplace else, you can still go
right,
to that city.
Right. Right. Now, there's a lot of discussion about what this is referring to. There's some who learn, although it's not mashma like this in the Yerushalmi, but there's some who learn that the city that's referred to over here is a city which is entirely non-Jewish, in which case people are wondering, what, you're not going there to visit relatives or anything, and therefore they assume that your purpose in going would be to have something to do with the going. There are others who say that the Isser over here, and this is the Rosh actually brings this, that the Isser over here is only if this is a fair, as Eliezer just raised the possibility, and people are coming from other places, not just as a local fair, but it's known that people are all coming into town for the specific purpose of participating in this fair for Avodah Kochavim. It's not just that it's not, it's certainly time limited, but it's also what level are we chayish for Maris Ayin? Is it time for a person to travel? The issue over here is not true Maris Ayin according to this, but rather the fact that it seems to be machazik, the coming into the city, which everybody's coming, the Jews are also coming into the city, is worse than a normal Marit Ayin. We normally wouldn't be kosher, but over here, you really look like you're part of the crowd, because all roads lead to this particular place now. Hechi Dami Chutzala, says the Gemara, when you say outside of town, there's no problem. How close to town is outside of town? Even as close as, and Rashi learns Itluza means the Italiz, in other words, the Shechita center, which they would sell the meats there, they would do the Shechita, sell the meat, which is right outside of town. There's one in the middle of town, they have flies and smells and so on. But people would go to the edge of town, and that's where they would do the Shechita, near the farms, and that's where they would sell. And there, the chiddush there is that even if it's mamish samuch la'ir, and it's just technically out of town, so to speak, that's also perfectly okay. And that's considered to be chutzalah, because if people want to take something out of town, that's where they will put it. The Tosus learns that the meaning of the flus over here is not the fleas, but rather it's the sheet of the Rajabahan. It's the name of an Avodas Kohanim. It was a place where they had this stadium that was outside of the main city of Aza in order to worship over there. And there, it's actually talking about the example of a resort. It's not simply bringing in light the distance between. But that you see that even in that case where the people in that area, in the stadium, would come and worship Avodah Zarah, there would be no problem of doing business in Aza itself. I mean, other than the other problems of doing business in Aza, but yeah. Others say that Reish Lakish asked Reb Chanina, not that he reported it, but he actually asked Reb Chanina what would be the din of, as Rashi learned, something as close as the Yifuz of Aza, or as Tosfos learns, what would be the din of doing business on the Yom of the Yifuz of Aza, Ibn Aza. So Reb Chanina said to him a very interesting and somewhat challenging reply, because it's not clear what the implications are of this reply. Lo alachta l'tzur miyamech. What's the matter with you, man? You've never been to Tzur. Ra'ita Yisrael ve'oviko chavim sheshavtu shtei kiderot agavei kirachat v'lo chashulem chachamim. So did you never go to the city of Tzur where there's a lot of mixed areas of Jews and non-Jews?
Yeah, fine.
And the minhag over there is that they would put down, people would put down on top of the oven, the stoves, stove tops, they would put down two pots, one right next to each other, and one belongs to the Jew, one belongs to the non-Jew, and the Chachamim never said a word about it, even though one of them is directly next to the other one, in order to fit two kiderot on a single kira, they're basically almost touching each other, and the Chachamim didn't say anything about that being a problem. In which case, this should be the same issue over here, even though they're almost touching each other, just like these pots. We don't have any problem of dealing with the pot that's heter, so to speak, with the area in the city, or the outside of the city, as the case may be, where they weren't worshipping Avodah Zarah. Now, it's not clear what type, I mean, this comparison is so off the wall that, you know, as close as two pots, because two pots. I mean, what is Sarim are we talking about over here that we're comparing Bichla? So we have a number of different possibilities in understanding what it was that Rebbe Chanina was trying to say. My lo choshu lehem chachomim. When you say that the chachomim weren't worried about it, worried about what? Omer Abaye, the question over here is about an Issur D'oraisa. And what they were saying is mishum basar nivela. Even though we have a chashash over here, that we certainly know that the meat inside of the goyish pot is flat out and out as straight as you can get, chazer, nevela, whatever. And it's there in that goyish pot that's right next to him. Lo amrina, we don't say that Dilma Mahadar Ape Yisrael La'achore v'shari ovet kuchav nevela v'kader. We don't think that the moment that the Jew turns his face away, that the goy drops some of his nevela meat into the Kedera of the Jew, in which case the comparison would be on a true Issur D'oraisa, and therefore we would say, in this case, the Kavata, applying it to our question about Aza and the Itlis, Hochinami, lo chashu lehem chachamim mishum d'mei avodat kochavim. It's not simply the issue of the chachamim not being concerned for the Issur D'rabbanan, which we've been dealing with all around and doing business with them near the time of the holiday, or on the holiday. The question over here involves actual monies in the hands of the goy, where there would be a chashash that the money that was being used to buy things from the Jew was money which, according to Rashi, would have actually been presented on an altar to Avodas Kochavim as a sign of homage to the Lord, and therefore would have become Issur D'oraisa because Takrovis Avodas Kochavim. So even in such a case, where we know that that was the minute to be done in the city that was worshipping them by the Itlis, nonetheless, there's no chashash that maybe there would be a problem of you coming across Bedavka that money. Now, there are a lot of problems in that pshat, in Rashi's pshat. Let's start, first of all, from the beginning. that was not afraid that maybe if the Jew turns his face away, at that moment the guy is going to drop something in. I mean, first of all, we have a halacha that is the basis of all of our kashrus, really public kashrus, which is the halacha of Yotzei V'Nichnas. There's no din that you're mechuyav to be standing there with a constant shmirah to make sure that a guy doesn't drop something. I mean, and every hotel that was using Arabs in the kitchen would be treif. I mean, how do we know they didn't put something treif in something? As long as the situation is that a mashgiach comes in at that time, and they don't know exactly when he's coming in, so we say that the Yavik Chacham is mirza, he's nervous about it, he's not going to do it. So Tosis is very bothered by this. What does it mean? Why do I need to go to Tzur, where this is the most common halakha in the world, that you're doing it, no? Is okay. And Tosis explains that the only time that we talk about Yotzei V'Nichnas being okay is where there is opening for legal action, or at least for severe embarrassment, if the person is found to be involved in the other person's thing. So it's just either nitfas alav keganav, or he's going to lose his hechsher, or whatever. The case in Tzur is that these were sort of public ovens that people come and stick their stuff on and so on, in which makes absolutely no difference to anybody if somebody goes ahead and touches something of somebody else. And therefore, here, we wouldn't have looked at it as a Yotzei V'Nichnas. In fact, it says this, maybe that's good for the pshat, that it's only a buyer who feels that this is a riot, because others look at it, as we'll see, that issue is not an issue of a klal. That could be a din in Sama Yotzei V'Nichnas, and there would certainly be no chashash of a derisa. And that's problem number one. Problem number two is, what in the world are we talking about? Maybe a guy is going to drop some nevela into your pot. Why would he do that? If we're going to be choshesh that goyim do things just to screw up Jews, and our bedafka is going to put in trace of things into their things, then how could we possibly even allow a goyish maid in the house? How do we know that she doesn't take the meat out of the refrigerator and switch it with something else? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. As Tosis points out, our entire hanhaga is to allow non-Jews to be working in our kitchens and not to have any chashash that they're bringing things in bedafka to make life difficult for Jews. And that would be a total disaster if we have to worry about such a thing. Therefore, explains to us, of course, we're not talking. We never have a chashash that the goy is going to go out of his way to be machshil, a Jew, by putting chazer into his cholent. That's never a question. The question over here would be, for instance, maybe the Jewish piece of meat was a more gishmak, and it was you know, fatter and nicer. Maybe he'll do a little switch on you, you know. So he'll take some of your stuff and put his stuff in instead, and so on. Okay, but otherwise, of course, we wouldn't have any problem. The third issue that we have to worry about over here is the contention that the Me'ah Vidish Kachavim would be also. We're going to see later on many Gemaras that seem to proceed on the assumption that money that was used and derived maybe from the sale of an Avodah Shkachavim and so on, as long as it's in the hands of a goy, a Jew who sells an Avodah Shkachavim, an actual idol, that money becomes also, as we'll see. But if a goy has made profit off of selling Avodah Zarah and things like that, there certainly would be no iser in that money that appears later on. So what are we talking about when we're saying there's no chashash of b'nei Avodah Shkachavim, some type of iser d'oraisa? What is iser d'oraisa? Therefore, points out Tosfos, therefore Rashi indeed seems to stress that the question on here was that there was a minhag to actually bring the money on the altar and present it for a blessing, so to speak, and then take it and use it. If that would be the case, it would be Takrovus Abuzar. But, says Tosfos, that doesn't stand up to scrutiny, because that type of thing would not consider to be Takrovus if it's not the derech of any type of avodah. It has to be, as we'll see later on, it has to be a type of thing that could serve as an actual gift on a mizbeach and so on. And this doesn't seem to make sense. So he doesn't like this pshat. I must tell you that there is the most former pshat, indeed, is the Balamoras pshat, who says that this Gemara argues from all the other Gemaras and does make, he takes it kipshuto, that there actually is an iser, according to this Gemara, of using money that had been derived from the sale of Avodah Zorah and Avizrei de Avodah Zorah by the goy. So, No. And the question over here is that the Jew is selling him something. We're talking about confusing two things. There's two things. There's the case that we've been derived from, and then there's the implication. The implication, as we were being, that you don't have to be a chayish, but you may have a that kofavim, which is something that we never raised. We only raised the issue of whether you're allowed to do business with it. We never talked about whether the money per se may be an isser, a takrubas, or anything like that. From here, so here the Gemara says, you see, it's okay. But Masha, if you knew for a fact that this was may have a that kofavim, it would not be okay. Which there's many sugyas later that say exactly the opposite. So again, the Malamar learns that there's an akhwal to kasugya, and that this indeed, according to the sugya, would be asur. Rashi learns we're not talking about money that was derived from avodat kohavim. We're talking about money that was brought as a gift to avodat kohavim, which would be lo yidbat biyakamu umam in acherim, would be an isur diraisa. Comparable to the Yisrael Nevelos, and therefore we're bringing a Raya. We're not Kosher Yisrael Nevelah. We're not Chayesh for this as well. Then there's the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam. The sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam is that where does the Gemara later on say money derived by a goy through sale of Avodah Zarah's mutter is where the sale was in order to derive the cash value for purposes that were completely secular. So he needs to pay a debt or something like that. But if his sale was in order to invest in a better Avodah Zarah, then the Isser Avodah Zarah remains on the money even when a goy is mafreshed. And that there, here the chashash would be that in this type of fair that would be b'miyuchet for Avodah Kochavim, that might be the behavior. And I'll sell my out-of-date getchka, you know. And we want something more modern, where Yosh is dressed up more like a rock star or something. So we're going to invest in the latest model, you know. And that thing that Einat Tiramik wasn't talking about that later on. Therefore, there's no Machloket HaSugyot. We don't have to get involved in the question whether it's Takrovet Avodah Zarah. It was real to me Avodah Zarah, which in this case would be the equivalent of a Yisrael that was Machloket and Avodah Zarah for money. There's all types of discussions in the Achronim about what the basis of that would be. Because, gentlemen, as we'll see later on, there is no din by a goy. There's no din of muktzah for Avodah Kochavim. You can't say, I'm setting aside this money for Avodah Zarah, and it should become an iser of Avodah Zarah. Because, oh, over here he sold it. The sale itself is muktzah. So how did the fact that he intended to use the money to buy a better model Avodah Kochavim, how does that make it awesome? All right, the differences are obvious. And over here, it's a question of we're translating the original Yisra into the money in the first place. I mean, so obviously, the kasha is not such a good. The Achronim talk about that kasha in terms of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so again, we have three approaches to the sugya. Either we're talking about takroves, as Rashi learns, that the money itself is brought, and it's a disadiraisa. Or we're talking about a sugya that holds that in most that are chalipin, that are exchanged for Avodah Kochavim are us or even in the hands of a goy, which is the Bala Mora's pshat, and we have the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat that the Gemara is talking about in its conclusion, utilizing money that was exchanged from one Avodah Zarah for purposes of investment in another Avodah Zarah. So that is approach from, yeah.
But Fred was flying in an airplane.
Uh-huh.
So we had some goy, the whole flight, they got friendly, they were chatting, the meals were served, you know, what's that? Oh, it's kosher. It's very interesting. He got up, went to the bathroom in the middle, he comes back, he sits down and thinks, oh my goodness, what's it, you know, can I eat this? Is that a false truth? Can I eat this? I, you know, I haven't been here, I walked away, I don't know, I thought she was on an eye, and I went. So he was really worried, and he decided not to eat it. So his friend says, well, what happened? You know, you haven't finished your, well, you know, and he explained to him that, you know, it's a problem leaving kosher food unattended in front of non-Jews. And his friend looked at him and says, no, those rabbis are pretty smart. When you were gone, you know, I wanted to taste it. So I took a piece of your meal and I put a piece of mine.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. That is an amazing story. Wow. Okay. All right, well, I guess we have to review this again now. So that's Abaye's approach that we're talking about, an Isser D'oraisa of Demi Avodas Kochavim. Rava disagrees. As I mentioned to you, Rava disagrees because according to Rashi, anyway, it would be a typical case of Yosef and Nitmas. So why would there be a Hashash of Avodas Kochavim? Therefore, says Rava, what is the Pshat over here? Lo Chashulem Chachamim Mishum Bishalachu. The question over here is whether, since Lamaisa, the Goy is certainly not going to feel he shouldn't do you the favor of putting your pot up to boil or stirring your meat or whatever, so maybe the issue would be Bishalachim. And the Chachamim are saying, we're not afraid of Bishalachim. Now, the extension to our sugi, of course, forget about any Yisr D'oraisa, because Bishalachim anyway is only Yisr D'rabbanan. So what it would be saying is that the Kavata, the equivalent case in terms of Azani, at least, Achinami lo choshulem chachamim mishum yom edan. The question would therefore be, in the Yisr D'rabbanan, and here we see clearly, again, the Yisod that we've spoken about from the very beginning of the Masechta, that the issur of doing business on Yom Eidam is an issur d'rabbanan, because otherwise this whole sugya breaks down. It may be that we bring sukkim about the lo yishama apicha and so on, but certainly there's no entertaining the notion that it's an issur d'oraisa. That's the point the Gemara is making. So if we want to talk about Rabbi Chanina's comparison to the case of the pots, it would be a comparison to a chashash and an issur d'rabbanan. The rabbanan weren't makbid on bishalakum, and therefore here too they're not makbid on the din of Yom Eidam, which is an Issur D'rabbanan. Rabba Bar Ula Amar, Rabba Bar Ula says, no, it's even less than that. Because there's no comparison to the din of Bishul Akum over here anyway, you see. Because the understanding is that the Jew took the pot and put it down on the fire. Once he does that, the Goy can't asher something afterwards by making a Bishul Akum. If the original cooking begins with the Jew, or the Jew even stirs it once, does anything with it, which is, of course, the way that we take care of the Bishalakum problem by all the conscious organizations, in which the Jew originally turns on the fire the first time, and for the next 10 years it works with the, you know, the continued, whether it's the pilot lights that rely on it, or it's in continuous production, there's no problem with Bishalakum. So, okay, so Mimela, that's not the issue over here. I compare it to Bishalakum. The problem over here is something much, much far-fetched, more far-fetched than that, and it's Mishum Sinura. The question over here is, are we afraid that when the guy is stirring up his pot, or when the pot is boiling, maybe a little bit, you know, will pop out of the pot, fall into the next pot? It's going to happen when something is boiling on a high flame, and things over come over the edge, maybe they'll fall into the adjacent pot. What's that? Yeah, or that type of thing, if there was liquid that could transfer between them. And that would really be batel b'shishim anyway. So, okay, so in other words, what it's saying is that the chachamim, no, mela, you know. It's not talking about a real chashash of Yisr. It's that something might happen. No, in that case, it's not even saying that it's mutter on the day of the holiday to do business with them. The only thing that you could say is equivalent to this very, very loose and easy Isser is Lifneyeda. So we have three levels over here. According to Abaye, that there was an Isser D'oraisa of Dmei Avodas Kochavim. According to Rava, we were talking about a true Isser D'rabbanan of Bishalakum, and therefore the Heter was in terms of Yom Eidam Mamash on the day of the holiday. And now we're saying, according to Rabba Bara Ula, that we're talking about a very far chashash of tsinura, which something might have bubbled over or fell into the pot, which would have been bottle anyway. And therefore, what we're saying is, it's a chachamim. What Rabbi Chanina was trying to tell him was, you know, you see that the chachamim are not so makbid about being marchik adkidekach. So that means that the din of lifnei edehem is not going to apply, but maybe on the holiday itself, he never would have allowed you to do business in Aza if they're having a ceremony in the Itlis. Fine. Next thing. Then the Gemara says, Ma'alei Lech Misham. Son Rabbanan, Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodat Kochavim Asur Likanesh Letocha. You cannot go to a town that even for not purposes of business, just to meet somebody, talk to somebody, if there's an avodat kochavim in that town. Velo mitochale yiracheret, and you can't even say, well, I have no intention of even stopping in town. I'm passing through town in order to get to the highway on the other side of town. I'm going to go ahead to a different city. You can't even do that, Divrei Rebbe Meir, because it looks like you're involved in their activity. As long as the highway has multiple destinations, it's mutter.
Mutter
to go there on that highway.
Go to that town.
Yeah. But if it doesn't have multiple destinations, it's usur. Now, so in other words, we're opening now a can of worms, which is the problem of what people are going to say, or Mari's ayin, which leads us to the next problem. Suppose somebody gets a splinter in his foot, bifnei avodat kochavim, and there's a getchka there. Can you bend down to take off out the splinter? Lo yishchev yitlena, bifnei shenireti mishtachavet avodat kochavim. You should not bend down and take it out, because it looks like you're bowing down. V'imeinon nireh, now, that's not clear. V'imeinon nireh could mean if he wouldn't be seen, or imeinon nireh could mean if it won't look like you're bowing down, and the Gemara will discuss that, then it's mutar. And if all of a sudden your purse split open, and your money went flying down on the floor, and it parzu lo ma'otav v'avadot kohavim, don't bend down to pick up your money. But again, he may not nireh mutar. Another case of where it looks bad is Mayan, Hamoshech with Neavadat Kochavim. You've got now this, you know, very often they'll put in front of the, like you find by near the Sultan's pool, you know, you have that place where you have the water that comes up from the fountain. And the Christians would often put a little getchka there, you know, in front of it. So, lo yishchev yish, they shouldn't bend in front of that to drink. So it looks like you're bowing to the Avodah Zarah. V'neino nireh, year two, it's mutar. By the way, there was some very interesting and serious questions that came up even Lagabi in Baltimore, Lagabi students that were learning in Loyola University, which was a Jesuit university, and they had crosses all over the place. And the question was whether, you know, are you allowed to incline your head in greeting to a teacher or something like that if they're standing in front of one of these things, or if they're wearing a cross. There was I saw Grotta Mesa that there was a Christian representative of Prussia in Switzerland. Jews would have to go in, would roll up his sleeves because he had a cross on his sleeve. No, on his thing. He had it. No, on the contrary. On
he would
his
cover
sleeve.
It.
He would cover it because he knew that they weren't able to bow to him in greeting if there was this getchka there, based on this Gemara, is why they wouldn't do it. Others are moderate because it's, you know, it's clear that these cases that we talk about over here are not part of the norm. There's that over here, your money fell down, this and that. But where it's made in such a way that, I mean, people are constantly saying hello, good morning, or the derech to, you know, to incline your head to the Comer and so on, and that the fact that there is a cross there doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. But those, of course, extremely mocked there. I mean, there's groups of Hasidim, I mean, who won't say good morning to you in front of a telephone pole. It has that cross. No, seriously. They look, they see crosses. It's amazing. I mean, if you put these tables together, you would have had four tables like this. They would have walked out the room because they would have had that cross right down the middle. And it's becoming real upset. I mean, you can imagine growing up in certain places of Europe in which this was the thing that loomed over your life at all times. You know, it was the darkness that destroyed your life in every way. But it's not as crazy as it sounds.
I had somebody once come into the house. We had something built. I don't remember. You know, just, you know, wall pack is always horizontal.
Right. Yeah. Floor. Yeah.
Somebody said, "Well, wait, aren't you worried that, you know?"
Shesi Veir.
Some of these ceilings that come to a point, deliberately broken, and the plate was put in so that there wouldn't be a cross.
Uh-huh.
But that's paranoid, no?
What?
Okay,
I have a shame of others are, right?
No, that's for sure. I'm afraid.
Like the kids, that they
yeah,
make
no,
fun
that,
fun
yeah,
fun
yeah,
school,
yeah, for sure. It's not, it's of course, it's very, I'm just saying that you can see where it comes from.
There are Santa,
yeah,
across on top of the, I don't know how they go into the,
where is that? There
is building by the King's Hotel.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. So there's a big cross there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Right, right, right. All right. Now, the next case that we have is interesting. It's part two, folks, on the Kalchim, Mayim, the Krachim. The reason we say Krachim, Krachim is a big city. Big cities can afford being a little bit flamboyant. And we know that one of the things that they used to do is still very popular is you have a water pipe that is inserted into an Avodas Kohol, or today's statues, of course. And the water gushes out of the water gushes out of the mouth of the idol. And what you would do is you would put your mouth up to the water
for drinking.
Oh, right. You put your mouth up to it, which looks like you're kissing the avodas kachokim. So lo yaniach piv al piyem v'yishte mipnei shenirakim minash sheik l'avodat kochavim kayotzebo. And by the same token, has absolutely nothing to do with anything we've spoken about. Don't drink water coming out of a pipe ever without seeing what you're drinking. So because it's dangerous. Sorry? Can't hear you.
Sewage pipe.
Oh, no. The problem in their days was leeches that would come out of the water would lodge in your stomach and in your esophagus, and could end up becoming horrifically dangerous, cutting off your blood. So they would swell. They swell. They could cut off your ability to eat, or they could actually expand to the point where they close off your windpipe, or even puncture your stomach. And so I've read strange reports. Remember, the Tiferes Tzvi brings a strange report from his yeshiva, in which this happened actually to somebody, and they you drink from the faucet, or you drink, without looking at what you're doing in the middle of the night, or from a stream or something, and just take it with your hands and pop it into your mouth. And that's certainly not far fetched in many places.
So that's on why into the pipe?
Because you don't see. You're saying if you put a pipe into your mouth, God only knows what's coming out of the pipe. So the comparison over here to the Avodas Kochavim is that, in that case, same way you don't put your mouth up to it because of Chashash Avodas Kochavim, even a normal pipe, you wouldn't put your mouth up. Now, you say Eino Nir'eh, if it's Eino Nir'eh, it's Mutter in all of these cases. My Eino Nir'eh, what do you mean by that? You know, Medom is Chazi. Does it mean that the person will not be seen by others? Don't we have a general rule that where the Chachamim said something was prohibited because it looked bad, that becomes a standing prohibition even though you're in the most private places and nobody sees you? Ela Ema, the way to understand it then is, in other words, if you can bend down to pick up your money in a way that never would be confused with bowing down, you bend down to the side or something like that, you make it very clear that you're avoiding any semblance of bowing, that's what he's saying is mutter. Now, all these cases basically seem to be the same. I mean, can't we just say, don't do something that looks bad and try to avoid it in a way you may not hear it? I mean, why all of the cases? Well, but if you take a look at it, it's actually a developing thesis over here. They would have said coats. I said, okay, of course. Why should I bend now to take out the splinter? I'll walk away to the side and take out the splinter. I can't very well do that when my money fell in front of the thing. I mean, when I walk to the side, that's not where the money is. So if it would have said coats, I would have said coats. Okay. The reason that we're mocked over there may be, Mishum de Epshel Amez will come in. You can walk away from it and take it away elsewhere. Mishkalet. Avo Ma'ot. But your money, which has fallen, you have to bend down. So there it's low Epshem Alo. Maybe there would be no Easter even in the first place, because it would be evident anyway. And, we're not going to be that mocked on you. On the other hand, if it said Ma'ot, I would say, well, Ma'ot, that's because we don't mind you losing money. But coats, I mean, you're in pain. We're going to ask you to suffer, to walk away when you got something sticking into your leg. Maybe over there, Emalo. Maybe because of the tzar. We wouldn't be Messiah of you to walk away. And let's say it would have said these two cases. I would have said, okay, these two cases do not involve any possible, by any stretch of the imagination, cases of danger. I'm not talking about sakana, but a mayan. We say, don't drink. I'm not going to answer people from drinking, from a public drinking fountain. What are they going to drink? I mean, people could actually come to a masiv in which they won't have what to drink. And ilo shatu mayit. I mean, people could come to danger from such a thing. Emalo, maybe we shouldn't answer a thing that could lead to sakana. And therefore, we need all of these cases. Yeah, but you haven't explained why do we need that thing about the partsufot, not to kiss it, not to do something that looks like kissing it. I mean, if you already told me the Mayan, where we know the thing about the sakana, so what are we adding over here with the partsufot? Lomali. Now, the only reason we brought that was an excuse to bring in the thing about drinking from the faucet, that's all. Because we wanted to say, Mishum Tekaboyim HaMisik Kayotsebo, Lo Yaniach Piva Gabei HaSilon V'Yishteh. So in order to say that, there's Sakana, we said this as well. By the way, what Sakana are we referring to? My Sakana, Aluka. We're talking about the Sakana of swallowing a leech. So in Rabbonon Lo Yishteh Mayim, Lo Yishteh Adam Mayim, Lo Mina Neharot, Lo Mina Agamim. A person should not drink water from open places. Lo Gepiv, V'Lo B'Yado Akad. Not by putting his face into the water, not by slapping the water into his mouth with one hand where he can't examine what it is that he's drinking. But of course, you can take the water, put it, you cup your hands, see what you're drinking, and then you can drink. Vim shatan, if you do drink in such a way, damo b'roshom ipnei sakana, then he's responsible for his own death if something happens to him, because it's dangerous. My sakana, sakanat aluka. Misayel el Rabbi Chanina, and this proves Rabbi Chanina's psak. Yom Rabbi Chanina, habolea nimashumai, somebody who swallows a water leech, mutar la'achem lo chanin b'shabbat. You are allowed to boil up water on Shabbos in order to kill the thing.
That'll do it?
Apparently, if it's hot enough. Umaaseh be'achat shebolea nimashumayim v'yitir Rabbi Nechemia, l'mechem lo mayim b'shabbat. There was an actual case where Rabbi Nechemia, or some have Rabbi Chanina here, was actually matir, and this wasn't said halacha, it was said halacha lamaisa. And Tosis points out a very interesting thing from here, that there's no immediate danger in swallowing this thing. I mean, it's going to take, you know, quite some time until it grows to the point where it's going to hurt you. So why do you have to be machal on Shabbos? And he brings a proof from here that that's the general rule. There's no, you don't have to be in immediate danger. And he brings a riot from a very interesting case where somebody gets a cut on the back of the hand or a place where he could easily get infected. It's going to take a few days till he gets infected, but nonetheless, you're allowed to be machal Shabbos immediately for it. We don't say, well, you know, wait, let the infection take hold, we'll deal with it later. We don't say such a thing. It's always once something is in fact a sakana, then you deal with it immediately. As soon as you can.
It's life-threatening. It could be life-threatening.
Even if it's going to take 2 months till it becomes life-threatening.
It's
life-threatening as far as we're concerned right now, and we're Mechal Shabbos on it. Tana Rabbanan. Lo yishteh adamayim. Oh, I'm sorry. I went backwards here. And what happens meanwhile? At Ahachivachina, while you're boiling up the water, you should try to deal with it by using strong vinegar. First thing you do is, this is practical advice, first thing you do is swallow vinegar in order to get the thing to release or not to clamp itself on you, and then you can try to kill it with the hot water. If somebody swallows a live wasp, look, he ain't going to make it. I mean, that thing is floating around in there. Miu L'shakir reviyata b'chala shamgat, give him quickly a full revius of some really strong vinegar. Because after the chayek purta, he may live long enough, at least to make out a will. Had the mafkir abeze, I mean, one wants a guy to die without being able to say goodbye.
How come the Gemara doesn't suggest, or why is it not listed as a possibility to bend down in a way that's benign to the Avodah Zarah? To pick up the Ma'os or to pull out
that. Back in.
Well, you don't have to. It says even in Menu Nira, it doesn't have to be better of Gnai. You could even do it in a way that looks different.
Yeah,
you
know,
of course you can.
Okay.
Son of Rabbanan, lo yishte adam mayim balayla. I don't know what I mean. Maybe the hornets like that kind of stuff. I mean, there's no arguing with taste. So Son of Rabbanan, lo yishte adam mayim balayla. A person shouldn't drink water at night when he can't see what he's drinking. Now the truth is there's a confusion of sugyas over here. Because the question is whether are we still talking about the issue that we had before, which is the question of the aluka, or are we talking about even in something where there's no shash of aluka, which Tom talking about at night? It does just point out that the sugyas got confused and suffered, and one comes after the other, and he changes the gears to back there himself. And, you know, there was the question, are we talking about Dafka from Agamim and Neharot? Are we talking about even from Kalim? And in any event, here, it seems clear that we're not talking about the Aluka anymore. We're talking about an evil spirit, the Shavriri, that lives in water, and that if you come at night, then it may get you. So what you do is, if you're thirsty, so my sakanat shavriri. Now this shavriri could cause a person to go blind. And what should you do if you need to drink? And it's because of this that Rashi takes out the girsa that there was here that used the word minha agamimu mina narot even in this part, because that was an aluka issue, not a shavriri issue. The shavriri issue is on any type of water that you're going to drink at night. So what should you do? In Tzachi, if you're thirsty, maitakante, what do you do? If you've got another person there, laitrei, wake him up and tell him, Tzachina maya, I'm thirsty. Now that scares it away. And ilo, if you don't have anybody else present, make a lot of noise like you do. Nekarkesh benaktama achatzbe, you know, what you need to do is you take a cover of a pot, and you go, you bang it on the pot. It sounds like a whole group of people are coming over to drink. And say to yourself the following incantation: Planya bar planita. And use your name and your mother's name. You know, your mommy always told you. Amrala ka imech. Your mommy always told you. Izdaya, be very careful of that shop. Really, 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 really. Bekati chibri and any type of. In any type of white containers, and as the shade hears itself disappearing, it pops, and that's the end of the whole thing. And you can drink, and the yisbu on those. No, we're not knowing these kind of things. And in our days, we don't have these shaving and so on. They've been banished.
Should we go to like Harod at night? Is that a mistake?